Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. Did I hear a ooh out of you as we started the show? What is your excitement for DRS on this Thursday morning?
Now, we're still about a month away from the NFL, like training camps being underway, which is fantastic. We can't wait for that. But sometimes when some things hit the Twitter machine here that pique my attention, like today's Fade the Public poll, I mean, come on now. This is like maybe 1 and 1A on my hot topics on the list. So maybe I'm not going to differentiate and tell the people which poll was actually posted. But if you do follow the Sports Grid account, you follow myself, you saw that retweet, and I want Ben to watch it here before he actually knows when I say it. We'll just leave it at that right now. But we got a hot topic coming down the path here today.
I have not looked at the Fade the Public poll just yet. I was going to do so during this next commercial break. I am now intrigued. Everybody else out there should be enticed as well. A full Major League Baseball card on a Wednesday to go around the bigs and recap for you before a historic day at Rickwood Field, among many other games on this Thursday slate in Major League Baseball. It will be a celebration of the life that was the baseball icon, Willie Mays, tonight in Birmingham, and a historic matchup at a fixture of the Negro Leagues back in the day. We will preview everything you need to know at Rickwood Field tonight in Birmingham, Alabama, and go all around Major League Baseball. A triple header of action in the WNBA. The Fever, don't let them get hot. Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston. Another great win last night at home in Indianapolis. College World Series Finals is set in Omaha, Nebraska. And for the fifth consecutive year, we will have an SEC champ. All of that and more over these 3 hours.
Yes, we will. And also some good times ahead with a lot of information that you need to know. And also, afternoon Major League Baseball today. It's not a huge card, but a lot of it's going to be played in the afternoon, sort of to set up that big game in Major League Baseball tonight at Rickwood Field. So we'll have some fun with that. Yesterday, I did hit my play of the day, which was Pete Alonso on an RBI. But I expected much, much more in a couple different games. Maybe that tide turns today and I get back to profitability. That's the goal here. Let's get started.
I did not hit my play of the day. That was Tigers' first five. Tarek Skubal got roughed up in Atlanta. But Aaliyah Boston did go over 14.5 points, a double play of the day, if you will. But we focus on the big news last night in baseball, the return of the American League Cy Young Award winner, Gerrit Cole, making his season debut for the New York Yankees, getting the start last night up in the Bronx inside Yankee Stadium against the Orioles. Pretty solid outing for Cole. Four innings of work, did pitch into the fifth, 62 pitches thrown, did give up 2 earned runs, but in extra innings, the Baltimore Orioles play 2. They hold off the Yankees 7-6 in 10 innings for a victory to split the first 2 games of this midweek set.
62 pitches there for Gerrit Cole. Obviously, that's going to expand. The big thing is how he probably feels this morning. We weren't getting any reports yesterday. He left that game because he was struggling or a little bit out of wind at that point. So I expect bigger things. Povich was very good yesterday. 4 2/3 innings pitch, only one earned run and walking around five batters here. That's pretty impressive as a young kid just trying to find his way. But also, when we take a look at opportunities to score, the Orioles should have won this game. How about yesterday? 6 of 20 with runners in scoring position. They had 20 chances with runners in scoring position to the Yankees 7. You're supposed to win those ball games. Good win for the Baltimore Orioles in a lot of hype in a game for the Yankees getting Cole back.
Yeah, we'll talk about a ton from New York, who was there last night, who was out of the lineup, and who performed on both sides. Now we go to the other New York team, the New York Grimace Mets. But the win streak ends at 7. They did have an early lead, thanks to Polar Bear Pete, as Donnie Wrightside told you. A two-run shot early in the game in Arlington. But the Rangers rally a pinch hit, two-run home run from Leody Taveras. The difference as the Rangers snap the Grimace streak at 7. They win 5-3.
Yeah, Heaney was okay there for the Rangers. 6 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 9 Ks did the job. I also thought the Mets would be able to get the 5 runs and hit their team total, which was a plus money number yesterday. They weren't able to do that, but as I said, cashing in on an RBI prop with Pete Alonso as he did go yard yesterday. You can't win every game. The Mets had a good run. I expected that run to continue yesterday, and it didn't. We'll see where they go from here now.
Yes, we certainly will. Grimace still lives on for the Amazons. Men's College World Series in downtown Omaha yesterday. An elimination game early. Florida hammers Kentucky. Would have been pretty tough if some guy on this show told you to took the under of 12.5 as Florida themselves scores 15 runs, including the 75th career home run of Jack Caglione, which set up two games later in the night. Tennessee versus Florida State. FSU needing to knock off the balls twice to get to the CWS final. Same story for the Gators against Texas A&M. We're not even going to get that elimination game. Tennessee handles Florida State 7-2 in their game. The Volunteers, the number one national seed, onto the men's CWS championship set, and they will take on an SEC foe in Texas A&M. They blanked Florida last night. The Aggies a perfect 8-0 throughout this NCAA tournament here in the postseason. So the CWS finals Saturday in Omaha. It will be Tennessee and Texas A&M.
Yeah, by the way, looking at those games yesterday, tough scene, too, because Florida was rolling in that game number one and then just run out of gas completely on offense for game number two. It's a tough circumstance, but you put yourself in that situation when you lose a game in Omaha, so it's understandable. But also, taking a look at Tennessee, hitting home runs, wearing the cheetah fur coat in the dugout. Moms even participating wearing the cheetah coat in the stands. Good stuff all the way around. And we thought the best team coming into the College World Series was Tennessee, and certainly they ain't giving us any reason to prove them wrong right now. They are really good.
I thought the Vols were going to buck history and be the first number one national seed to win the national championship since seeding began in 1999. That very first year, Donnie's Miami Hurricanes were a national title winner, looking to do the same. They beat Florida State, I believe, right?
That's right.
You know that?
That's right.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at us. Couple of college baseball guys, and what a scene it was in Omaha, Nebraska at Rosenblatt Stadium. WNBA action last night. The Fever starting to figure things out. Make that 3 wins in a row for Indiana. 88-81 last night against the Washington Mystics. The Fever cover as a 5.5-point favorite. The Fever have won 5 of their last 7 games. And when Aaliyah Boston scores 22 and Caitlin Clark has a double-double, 18 points, 12 boards, and adds in 6 dimes, you can see the future on display for the Fever.
Yeah, 18-12-6. That's all that needs to be said. And also, we bring this up where they were struggling just a few games ago. Should they fire their coach? Again, playing much, much better basketball, listening to the coach and buying in. Team looks better on a game-to-game basis. I like what I see.
And as Donnie predicted, and we know, it's hard to win inside the Michelob Ultra Arena. The Aces back to their winning ways. They had dropped 4 of their last 5 entering last night. They hammer the Seattle Storm 94-83 in Las Vegas. Huge performance out of Asia Wilson. Jackie Young goes off as well in the return of the point guard for Las Vegas. Chelsea Gray, 16 minutes off the bench in her season debut. 16 minutes of game action as a reserve, Donnie. 7 assists. That's what it means to have their 4 general back for the Aces.
Absolutely. And also told you yesterday, it wasn't really so much an X and O's matchup here between the Aces and the Storm. I was laying the 6.5 because I thought it was a great spot from an emotional standpoint. Your star player's up there saying how much this game means to her and they're not winning. You knew they were going to take care of business the next game. Double-digit win for the Aces at home, as predicted, right here on the early line.
The Minnesota Lynx on fire as well. They win by double digits at home against the Atlanta Dream. They cover as a 9.5-point favorite. But some tough news yesterday in the WNBA. The second overall pick in the WNBA draft, Cameron Brink, has torn her ACL, most likely missing the remainder of this W season. Was also a member of U.S. women's basketball three-on-three Olympic team. Tough news for Cameron Brink. And Kyle Bradish, some bad news for Baltimore. Another O's starter who will have Tommy John. More around MLB up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A marquee matchup this week inside Yankee Stadium between the two top teams in the American League, both housed in the same division in the AL East, battling for that top spot. And the marquee matchup even further highlighted on the marquee in the Bronx last night with the return of Gerrit Cole, his 2024 MLB season debut after missing the first 2+ months of this MLB campaign. The reigning American League Cy Young Award winner back on the last night, making his first start of the season, and he was fine. 4 innings of work, did pitch into the fifth and was pulled after allowing a leadoff single. 62 total pitches from the right arm of Gerrit Cole. Now to the game itself. The Orioles had an early lead. Giancarlo Stanton pretty much brought the Yankees back by himself. Game tying RBI single in the home half of the ninth to force extras. But in extras, it was the O's scoring 2 and the Yanks only scoring 1. 7-6, the victory for Baltimore. They split the first 2 games of this marquee matchup during this midweek set. Game number 3, the rubber match, on this Thursday afternoon inside Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, and the interesting part about that, too, is we were watching some of those lines shift during the afternoon. Now, granted, I didn't really know what you're going to get out of Povich, but I didn't expect a great performance. But you got a solid enough performance. 4 2/3 innings pitch, 1 earned run against your rival New York Yankees. You'll take that every time out of the kid. And also, technically, out-dueling Gerrit Cole, who went 4 innings and 2 earned runs. Now, the interesting part is only 62 pitches. You want to get him back into Major League Baseball in the flow, and that's going to rise. That 62 will turn into 75, 85, 90, and 100, and away you go, as long as Gerrit Cole is healthy. But also, taking a look at the game itself, look at some of these odds and numbers here where you're saying, all right, 7-6 final, 13 total runs, but Baltimore really had the Yankees on the chase in this game. If you're looking at just hits alone, 11-9, Baltimore outdone themselves. But leading off the show, you know, when you get 20 runners in scoring position, sooner or later you're going to break through. And 6 out of 20 isn't devastatingly great, but it's not terrible. But can you imagine if they were about 50% there, 10 of 20, they would have crushed the New York Yankees. I always look at opportunities and how they're handled. Yesterday, the Orioles, from a starting pitching perspective, we didn't think they would be better on the mound. Technically, they were. At the plate, they were also better. And also keep in mind, you didn't have Aaron Judge in this lineup either. Giancarlo Stanton tried his best there, having a great game. But outside of that, you really needed some other guys to step up in a big way. Yankees will be fine, but that's a great win for the Orioles. One of those games you probably expected to lose, and you got to win on the road.
And they were the underdog because with Gerrit Cole on the mound, the Yankees are always going to be booked as a favorite, even if it's his very first start of the season coming back from injury. But the line, when we were discussing, greater than minus 170 in favor of New York, closed much closer to minus 138 on that money line in favor of the Yanks. We'll talk about what this game means from the overall perspective between these top two clubs in the American League, now only a game and a half separates New York and Baltimore, the Yanks in front, but a focus now on Gerrit Cole, the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner last season, 15-4 with a 2.63 ERA. That was second best in all of Major League Baseball. In his last 7 starts of 2023, he allowed 2 earned runs or less. Yesterday in his debut, only 2 earned runs, but in just 4 innings, 62 pitches. How did Gerrit Cole look to you? 62 pitches, about what you thought he would do in his season debut.
I thought it would go a little bit longer. I really did. But I think, like, if you're the Yankees, right, you're still in first place. You're probably the best team in the American League. You want to get your superstar out there and say, you know what, let's leave with maybe – it's wrong to say, like, let's leave with a good taste in our mouth because he's a sensational Cy Young pitcher and certainly one of the best in the game. But you wanted to say to yourself, all right, we could push him to 82 pitches if we wanted to here at this point. But let's get him in. Let's get him out. Let's see how that arm feels tomorrow. And if it's fine, we'll know that we're in pretty good shape for the rest of the season. And as I indicated, I don't think we had any, you know, disparaging reports saying, oh, no, he's going for an MRI the next day. So he should be fine. I'm not worried at all. Did I think he was the – it's unfair to say, right? You're supposed to come back and pitch for the Yankees here now. You know, hey, seven innings pitched, 91 pitches, and no earned runs. Gerrit Cole is back against one of the best teams in Major League Baseball in the Orioles. I was fine with what I saw because the most important cog, Ben, always is he just healthy the next day? And if he is, I'm buying into Gerrit Cole.
And despite five walks, Cade Povich looking pretty good in his last two starts here for Baltimore the last week. Only a single earned run allowed in both of those. So when we look at this game overall, good news for the Yanks. Gerrit Cole was back. Aaron Judge was out of the lineup last night after getting hit by a pitch on Tuesday night against Baltimore. But again, the x-rays and the CT scan were negative, so that's not feared to be overly significant or that Aaron Judge is going to miss a considerable amount of time. Giancarlo Stanton had himself a baseball game. The O's were up 5-1 after the top of the seventh. Stanton hit a three-run shot in the bottom of the seventh, and then in the home half of the ninth hit the game-tying RBI single to send it to extras. But here's what's so fascinating, Donnie, in my expectation for this series. Because these games have an added level of significance, even here in the middle of June, because it's the two teams that are far and away in front in the American League East and maybe that top overall spot in the American League. The Yankees just a 1.5 game lead and yet booked as a -360 favorite to win the American League East. If the O's win the rubber match today inside Yankee Stadium, we're talking about a half game separating these two clubs.
Yeah, it is pretty expensive, and I guess you're trying to also understand what the sports books are taking on, because there's a lot of Yankees money, which how good they are, so you should have to protect yourself. But it is interesting to see. It's almost like that same phenomenon, Ben, we saw with, what, the first month of the season in the NL East with the Philadelphia Phillies and the Braves going, like, this one team looks so much better. Why is the pricing different? Well, it's all the metrics of what you expect for the rest of the season, and also projecting that Gerrit Cole is going to come back into that rotation to be a Cy Young pitcher, and also them losing Bradish, talking about the Orioles. Changes will be made at the trade deadline. Both of these teams are good teams, but if you said, Donnie, look at both of these teams right now and remove the odds, who would you like to win the AL East? It's going to be the Yankees for me. I don't agree with the pricing so much of how expensive it is, but I do believe the Yankees are the better team and will be the better team at the end of the season. It's no shade on the Orioles. I love that team here, but when you're projecting out superstar talent, what you're getting now, what you expect by the end of the year, it's probably going to be the Yankees for me.
And I said if the O's win the rubber match, 4 p.m. Eastern time, scheduled for first pitch inside Yankee Stadium, but Baltimore not favored to win the rubber match. And how could they be when Luis, don't call him Lucas Heal, is on the bump for the New York Yankees? A -142 price as of this moment in favor of New York. We'll see if the fork is hit in or if it's out and talk about some streaks around the bigs up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listen, you're going to see a graphic in just a moment that recaps the Astros and the White Sox game from last night, and the title is going to be Hide the Fork. But if you beat the worst team in Major League Baseball, are we really hiding the fork? That's our bit, of course, around the Houston Astros throughout this summer. Can they crawl out of the deep, deep hole they have dug themselves in the first two-plus months of this Major League Baseball season? A 4-1 win over the Sox last night on the South Side after getting blanked the night before in Chicago, won 2-0 with just two hits. Okay, maybe we'll hide the fork for an extra day. Tough for me, though, who said keep an eye on Garrett Crochet, who has been sensational for Chicago since the month of May. They didn't even win the first five, did the White Sox, as the Astros are victorious 4-1.
Yeah, he was okay, though. Six innings pitched, three earned runs. Okay. It's a quality start. It's about what you can expect. Maybe you expected a little bit better, but you also expected maybe the White Sox bats to get more than one run. Now, here's the issue. The Houston Astros now, Ben, sit 34-40 on the season. I don't think they're going anywhere. And sometimes you could just take a look and say, well, that lineup sooner or later has got to hit. But I understand injuries are going to happen in Major League Baseball. It happens to every single team. Atlanta Braves, Philadelphia Phillies. You take a look at now the what the Dodgers are dealing with, both on the mound and also with Mookie Betts. But look at the bottom of the lineup that you saw yesterday for the Houston Astros. Caratini, Salazar, McCormick, Hummel, and Cabbage. And I don't think it's Robbie Hummel down there playing for the Houston Astros.
It's not.
But if you, like, yeah, you're not actually going to win very many baseball games when it's like, okay, well, Altuve, do everything at the top of the lineup and we'll see what we get. Do you remember when that Houston Astros lineup, and it wasn't too far ago, it's dated to last year, like 1 through 8, obviously they had a catcher that didn't hit very well, but 1 through 8, they were sensational at the plate. This year, not so much. Not sensational on the mound. That's why they're under 500, and I'm not believing in them.
And still tied for the second best record in the American League West, despite being 6 games below 500. Tied for that second best record alongside the Texas Rangers, who did also get a win and get out of their losing ways. They had dropped 8 of their last 11 entering last night against the New York Grimace Mets. Maybe the phenomenon has slowed ever so slightly as the 7-game win streak for New York since Grimace threw out the first pitch last Wednesday at Citi Field has come to a close. But the New York Grimace Mets still 7-1. But yesterday, the Rangers victorious with a 5-3 win. Leody Taveras, a 2-run shot to break open a tied game for Texas. That's the difference as the Rangers get a victory.
Yeah, can't win them all, and certainly when you're on the road, you like to win more than you lose, but sooner or later in baseball, you're going to take some losses, and yesterday was the Rangers' day. They've only improved to 34-40. Here's the thing with the Mets. Let's see how they bounce back. I actually thought they were in a pretty good spot yesterday with their lineup and a couple guys. I did go with Pete Alonso, pressed the right button in this game, and cashed in that ticket, but I did think the Mets would score more than 4.5 runs in this game and at least get to 5. Now, technically, you could say they were on their way, because after 6 innings, or in the 6th inning, I should say, you had 3 runs, needed 2 more, but couldn't dent that bullpen, and also couldn't get that matchup that we wanted, right? 3-3, had the extra innings, maybe get lucky with an extra RBI, and certainly getting that team total. I just hope the Mets and their fans don't turn on Grimace. Like, if it's 2 game losses in a row,
for sure.
You need to keep this going at this point. Like, Grimace looks like he's a good guy out there. I don't want to see people wearing a Grimace outfit heading into Citi Field and getting beat up in that Grimace outfit because people are upset. Let's keep the good vibes going with Grimace here.
And let's not call this an in memoriam type of clip reel as we look at Grimace in his big day now 8 days ago at Citi Field. This final picture you are going to see, not that one, they will erect a statue outside of Citi Field, but this final one makes it look like he is floating into the beyond. It's not over yet, right? It's the end of an era on the 7-game Grimace win streak, but Grimace still a fixture for the Amazons. And oh, by the way, the Mets, a proud organization, 11-5 in the month of June. They've won 11 of their last 14 games here over the past 2+ weeks. Again, the New York Mets still 7-1 in the 8 games since Grimace threw out the first pitch last week up in Queens. Look at the run differential, a plus 28. And they did have that early lead yesterday before the Rangers were able to rally. So the 7-game win streak for New York, the longest in MLB, comes to a close. A 6-game win streak for the Twins, that was the longest active in the American League, also comes to an end yesterday against the Rays. Tampa winning in extras, scoring a run on a Royce Young throwing error after he hit a solo shot earlier in the game. The Rays snapped the Twins' streak at 6 with a 3-2 win.
Yeah, Taj Bradley goes on the road there. 6 innings pitched, 7 hits, 2 earned runs. Did give up the home run, but threw over 100 pitches here. That's what you need out of your starter to keep you shot. And also, Ryan's a very good pitcher for the Twins. Good win here for Tampa Bay, but I'm not sweating anything on the Twins. At the end of the day, probably going to make the playoffs here.
Our producer, Joe Friso, is making it seem like I didn't say Royce Lewis. Oh, anyway, more on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we just went streaking around Major League Baseball and we were standing corrected for Royce Lewis, who hit a solo shot last night for the Twins, but then a costly error in extras that did allow the Tampa Bay Rays to snap the six-game win streak for Minnesota. Did want to make this point, DRS, about the Twins, who are on a six-game win streak. Of course, Minnesota had a 12-game win streak earlier in this season. They've also had a seven-game losing skid and a five-game losing skid just about 2 weeks ago. A very streaky team in the American League Central right now for the Twins.
Yeah, and it is. And look, that division we always talk about in the Central in both, the National League and the American League. Not the biggest payrolls, not the biggest superstars, but still some quality opponents here. The Twins should hang around all season long. And every time we talk about the Twins and or the Guardians on a year-to-year basis, it feels like they're always at the top of the heap. It's a solid team here, but it's also one that ownership looks like they think they're really only competing against the Central Division. So maybe at the trade deadline, we're not going to have to get some of these big fishes here because we can still match up with the Guardians at this point. I like what the Twins have to offer, but they're never in that conversation of, hey, do you think they can do a lot of damage in the playoffs? Because I just don't think they're as talented as the other teams. But as talented as teams in the Central, absolutely they should be able to challenge the Guardians.
And the Twins against the other best teams in the American League, including the Guardians, who we'll talk about in just a moment, the Yankees and the Orioles, 0-14 this season. They're pretty good against everybody else, but if you're going to win the pennant in the AL and contend for your own divisional crown, you got to get past Cleveland. By the way, if both Minnesota had their six-game win streak come to a close yesterday and the Grimace Mets had their streak snapped at seven consecutive wins, who has the longest active win streak in Major League Baseball? Donnie's American League team. That's the Boston Red Sox. Make that five consecutive victories for the Sox. They're five games above 500. Keep an eye out on Boston this summer in Fenway. Yesterday, a ton of day baseball got started very early, even before 12:30 p.m. Eastern time in the ATL in an Aces affair. Tarek Skubal on one side for Detroit. Reynaldo Lopez on the other side for the Atlanta Braves. Reynaldo Lopez this year has been great. Yesterday, five innings of work, shutout work, only allowing, or six Ks against the Tigers. Detroit on the other side. Tarek Skubal not his greatest game as Atlanta wins 7-0, blanking Detroit. They were a minus 134 money line favorite. Total of 7.5 despite Atlanta scoring 7 does stay under. Donnie, you were skeptical of Detroit even with Skubal on the bump because the offense really isn't producing. We see that yet again yesterday.
Yeah, the under was probably the best way to go in that game. As we pointed out, two pitchers coming in with some really good numbers. But if you would have said before the game, hey, seven runs are going to be scored by one team, I'm not going to tell you who. Will that game go over? Absolutely it does. But Detroit, look, again, they're really just two or three batters in that lineup you have to worry about. After that, it's an easy breeze right through that lineup. But also, we're talking about not like Gerrit Cole coming back on the mound, like, hey, how's he going to pitch against the Orioles? Ronaldo Lopez has been nothing short of sensational for the season. As you pointed out, five innings pitched, which isn't a lot, but 93 pitches. Usually those guys are going to get pulled and not start another inning once they get into the 90s. But his ERA is a 1.57. Yeah. It's crazy because the Braves winning baseball games now, we were saying like, hey, they're going to have to win games 2-1, 3-2, and stuff like that. And I thought that game would be that way yesterday, even though it still stayed under the number. But seven runs out of the Braves is fantastic. But this pitching staff that's basically duct tape out here from what we thought these pitchers were, let's just say, maybe 1 year ago, they're performing really well. And we always say, like, the Braves aren't going to win anything, but the Braves aren't going anywhere. They're going to be in the playoffs because they're just a quality organization overall. But I don't know how you expect it. Hey, by the way, let's pick up Lopez off the scrap heap. He's going to have a 1.57 ERA almost into the month of July. That's outrageous, but good for the Braves.
The Braves sweep the Tigers in Atlanta in this three-game midweek set. The Tigers scoring a total of two runs in the three games overall. On the other side, Tarek Skubal, not his best game ever for Detroit. 6 1/3, 4 earned runs allowed. He's now 8-2 this season with a 2.20 ERA. He is still booked as the ever-so-slight favorite to win the AL Cy Young Award. 10 cents in front of Corbin Burns for Baltimore. Plus 240 on Skubal, plus 250 on Burns. Reynaldo Lopez, 14-1, tied for the sixth best price to win the National League Cy Young Award, alongside his teammate Max Fried, behind Chris Sale, who has the fifth best price, also his teammate in the ATL, at 11-1. 5-2 the record now for Lopez, but the ERA is sensational. A 1.57 ERA for Lopez. He has been a revelation this year for this Braves organization.
No, he certainly has, and it's really coming out of nowhere. And sometimes, you know, you just dig back to what you know, what you've seen over the past couple of years. This was one of those guys pitching for the Sox where I used to say to myself, every time he's on the mound, it should be a launch pad here because he gives up nothing but home runs and isn't really a very good pitcher overall. Always had good stuff but never could tame it. But now you're taking a look at just heading down to Atlanta, which, again, we're not talking about like, boy, you know what saved him, Ben? Went up to San Francisco. What a great pitcher's ballpark, and he's getting away with it. He's pitching in Atlanta. The original launch pad back at Fulton County Stadium, still down. I mean, it's hot. It's muggy. It gives up home runs, and he's been fantastic this year. We'll see how long this lasts. The dog days of summer are coming up right now, but he's been great, not giving us any chance to say, well, eventually he's going to fall off. Every game he's been brilliant, it feels like.
And that battery very good yesterday for the Braves. Not only Lopez on the bump, but the man behind the dish, Sean Murphy, 2 home runs, 4 ribbies yesterday against Detroit. Now we go elsewhere around the American League. The two top teams in the AL Central, that's Cleveland. In the AL West, that's Seattle, dueling once again yesterday. In the Guardians, who were riding a 4-game skid, snapped that with a decisive 8-0 victory over the M's. Tanner Bibee, what a performance. Shutout work over 6 innings, striking out 12 as the M's get blanked and the Guardians score 8. Josh Naylor, 2 home runs, 4 ribbies. His brother Bo, also an RBI. The Guardians win 8-0.
Yeah, and I expected this game to stay under the total. Both of these pitchers came in pretty good form into this game, but depending on where you're shopping around, the 7.5s and the 8s, you got what you got on that game. But the Guardians were really good at the plate and efficient. We talked about some teams going 6-for-20 at the plate with runners in scoring position. You take a look at the Guardians, 5-of-8 with runners in scoring position. That'll get it done each time. But how about Bibee? 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, no earned runs, 12 strikeouts, only 1 walk, 93 pitches, lowering his ERA now to 3.65. Good win for the Guardians. They'll be there. They're probably going to win that division. And I guess just by proxy, the Mariners are going to win theirs because everybody in their division stinks and could care less about getting over 500.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. The rubber match of that series in Cleveland, early baseball, a little bit after 1 p.m. Eastern. After the Wild rally for L.A. on Tuesday night, in Colorado, 7 runs in the 9th inning. It was a Rockies rally yesterday as Colorado walks it off inside Coors Field. Brenton Doyle, the sack fly, the RBI game winner as Colorado exacts a little bit of revenge over Los Angeles. 7-6, the victory for the Rocks. The Dodgers were greater than a $2 favorite, so the Rockies cashing a big plus money price.
Yeah, and also you're looking at this game. What I liked best is you look at Feltner's numbers, struggling against left-handed batters. First two lefties in that lineup, 4 total hits, 4 total RBI. Otani gets 3, Freeman gets 1 here, but wasn't enough for a victory. That Coors Magic bit him again last night. You had the Dodgers with the Coors Magic. Now you flip it over, and you got the Rockies with a little bit of home cooking there. Good win for the Rocks overall. Not worried about the Dodgers. It's just what happens. Sometimes you just got to get out of town, maybe with a victory or two in Colorado.
4-game set comes to a close today. Total of 12. Yesterday's total of 10.5 skies over. Yep. All 3 games to start this week have gone over at Coors. Yesterday, some early baseball in Philly as well. The Padres, a 5-2 victory over the Phils. Kyle Higashioka hits a bases-clearing 3-RBI triple in the 8th. That was the difference, despite 2 home runs out of Bryce Harper.
Yeah, and it wasn't good enough for the Phillies. Thought this game would stay under the total. Thought the Phillies would win, and they didn't. But also, you're dealing with some of these lineups. The Phillies 1-9 opening day was sensational. There's a lot of automatic outs at the bottom of that roster here that need to be remedied here. I don't know if it's by trade, by injuries coming back, but we'll certainly find out. Phillies will get better. They'll be fine. That's a bad loss to them yesterday.
From the MLB diamond to what we see in college in Omaha. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Hour number one rolling along, and a lot of baseball talk, particularly in Major League Baseball. Got that afternoon card, but still blazing hot there out in Omaha is the Men's College World Series. Three games yesterday, Ben. This is where I want to start. Explain to the people why Florida could win 15-4, then lose on the same day and be taking a trip back home here. Why was Florida playing two games yesterday?
So it was the true elimination game. Either side could have their season come to a close in the opener at 11 a.m. Eastern time between the Gators of Florida and the Kentucky Wildcats because of a postponement due to weather for the game that was originally scheduled on Tuesday evening. A tough draw for Florida, but what happens at times with weather, I will not let Donnie Wrightside comment on that. The Gators were illustrious, though, in that opening matchup. They scored 7 runs in the first inning. They added on 2 more in the second. They scored 15 in total to blow out the Cats and send Kentucky packing from its first ever appearance at the Men's College World Series, 15-4. Jack Caglione making some history, his 35th home run of the season, his 75th of his Florida career, a new program record for UF baseball. He is going to hear his name called early, would be my suspicion, next month at the Major League Baseball draft. But tough then for Florida to have to turn it around and play in the nightcap yesterday in Omaha as well. They could have saved a couple of those 15 runs because they were blanked by Texas A&M. And it is the advantage, Donnie, of just going your way through the winner's bracket, because Florida and Florida State, the two teams that had already suffered one loss in Omaha at the CWS, had to knock off for Florida, Texas A&M twice to get to the CWS finals, back-to-back days. Same story for FSU. Neither even able to register a single victory to force a winner-take-all game on this Thursday. The Aggies have been perfect throughout this postseason in the NCAA tournament. 8 games, 8 wins, 6-0, blanking the Gators in the nightcap to advance to their first ever appearance in the CWS Championship Series. Tennessee, the number one national seed, making quick work of Florida State, 7-2, the victory for the Vols.
Yeah, and if we're taking a look at just what happened yesterday and how it sets up for the World Series itself, it is kind of interesting where it's like, okay, we are going to make one team play a doubleheader. And I would say that because you put yourself in some of those situations. The rain out is just bad luck at that point. But if you didn't lose any games, you wouldn't have to worry about that at the same time. But also, the momentum was just crazy yesterday. Like Florida and Kentucky, both of those teams, two SEC teams, you win 15-4. You figure like, okay, game number 2 is coming up. The bats are hot. We got 14 hits, multiple home runs. And then A&M comes up and goes, okay, that's fine. We'll blank you 6-0. Like, you go from 15 runs to 0 runs. It is also a testament of how good that pitching staff yesterday was for Texas A&M. But I do want to focus on Tennessee, because it's something that we brought up earlier this week on the shows. And I asked you the same question, like, you know, what's going to happen when Tennessee plays on the weekend, then sits out because they're so good and doesn't play until Wednesday? They were phenomenal again yesterday in that 7-2 victory against Florida State. And also, sometimes you take a look at some of these statistics, which are always going to be good for these teams that make the World Series. But Tennessee, that 58-12 record, just knowing that they're the best team in college baseball in the regular season, now really showing up here, it just shows the depth of that team. And Russ doesn't matter. We're not making any excuses. Tennessee looks the part right now.
And they have looked the part for the better part of the last few years. Tony Vitello has turned this program into an absolute powerhouse in Knoxville. But it's almost a blessing and a curse, Donnie, as we have detailed a few times, to be college baseball's best team and to earn that number one national seed. The seeding format of the 16 national seeds hosting the super or hosting the regional round and those 4 teams in your single pod, if you will, on the opening weekend of the NCAA baseball tournament has not been great. This seeding format started in 1999. We have only ever seen one number one national seed win a national championship. It was the very first year of this format back in 99, Donnie's Miami Hurricanes. It has been kind of like that President's Trophy curse in the Stanley Cup playoffs here in the NCAA tournament, and getting to Omaha, getting to the CWS championship set, and ultimately winning that ultimate prize, a national title. But Tennessee looks hell-bent on bucking that trend. 7-2 yesterday in illustrious offense. Christian Moore, one of the best bats in all of college baseball, the leadoff man often for the Volunteers. And I think you will see him in game number one on Saturday night in downtown Omaha. Chase Burns, who is going to be a top 10 draft pick, would be my guess, a guy that goes to triple digits consistently for Tennessee. Electric stuff on the bump. But as we have seen with A&M, their pitching staff all postseason long, and here in Omaha has been sensational. The total not out just yet for Saturday night in game number one in the best of three CWS finals, but believe you me, I will be leaning under because I think it will still probably hover around 9.5, 10.5, and I'm going to take the under. Tennessee, the favorites, DRS, to win the national championship this year.
Yeah, and if we're taking a look, and you explained it there, because I was going to ask you that next question, is it just a singular national championship game, but it is a best of three, and as we say, and then there were two, and that's Tennessee and Texas A&M, a minus 176 price to win the College World Series on the Tennessee Volunteers, so prohibitive favorite here. Looking forward to this three-game set, what is your opinion here? Is there a chance that the Aggies can stun? And when I say stun, it's not as if they're getting a plus 350 price.
Yeah.
They're a quality team, two SEC teams. What can we look forward to in the series? What's going to stand out?
I think we're going three. I think we will see all three games with what would be that championship game on Monday night next week in Omaha, that winner-take-all game number three. Not sure who wins game one, but I don't think we're going to see a two-game sweep. I would give the edge to the Vols and the odds continuously working in their favor, now minus 176. It's Tennessee and Texas A&M, and for a fifth consecutive year, DRS, because whoever wins will hail from the SEC, we will see an SEC national champion for five straight seasons in the Men's College World Series. Oh, by the way, you asked for the Jello shot update at Rocco's.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Tennessee has the edge, 12,804 at last night's update, 11,762 for A&M. Not the largest gap there. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Triple header of action last night in the W, all around the WNBA we go. We start at the home of the two-time reigning WNBA champions. That's the Las Vegas Aces, who entered last night, Donnie, in very murky waters, peculiar territory for Vegas, an even 500, 6-6. Six losses, as many as Vegas had the entirety of a 40-game regular season a summer ago. 34-6 was Las Vegas's record entering the postseason, in which they lost one game en route to winning their second consecutive WNBA title. But really good news last night in the desert for the Aces in the return and season debut of their point guard, Chelsea Gray. She did not start the game. She played 16 minutes off the bench, and in only 16 minutes, showing what she can do in terms of orchestrating the offense, she had seven dimes in 16 minutes in a reserve role as the Aces back above 500, 94-83 the victory, Las Vegas covering as a 6.5-point favorite against Seattle.
Maybe this will be a springboard now for the rest of the season for the Aces. And I talked about earlier, you know, that emotional press conference by Asia Wilson, the best player in the WNBA.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, leaving it all out there like, this is unacceptable. We'll get this right. I have to play better. And it's funny for her to play better, right? 27-9. Like, I mean, how much better can you play in that game? But easily able to cover that 6.5 spread. And also, we take, like, equivalent to, like, let's just say Gerrit Cole coming back on the mound, not knowing what you're going to get. Hopefully you play that first game, you get the feel back, and then you move forward. That's what you're getting out of the point guard situation now for the Aces. If you can just stay healthy for the rest of the way and build up your stamina, this team's probably going to be in the hunt once again. And also, when we were joking yesterday, 6-6, it's the regular season. What do the odds market look like? Oh, well, we think they're fourth or fifth in line. No, still by a nice little margin here as the number one overall team odds-wise to win the WNBA championship. Nobody's doubting the Aces, just a slow start. Now you see their full team start to come back. Maybe it gets better for him now from here on out.
And they are still the co-favorites at plus 165, but a little bit of movement as the New York Liberty are right alongside Las Vegas. 7-6. The defense has to improve as well. They're giving up more than 85 points per game, much to the chagrin all season long of Las Vegas' head coach in Becky Hammon. But when you look at the Aces last night, again, I know I'm belaboring the point, but having Chelsea Gray back is the biggest designator for this team. Asia Wilson is always Asia Wilson. Minus 220 now to win WNBA MVP. I hope you listened to us on opening day, now over a month ago, where we told you bet her. She felt like she was slighted last year. It was the conversation. She was plus money, quickly flipped to minus money. 27 points, 9 boards, 3 dimes, 4 steals. And having Chelsea Gray back, although she did not start last night for Las Vegas, does allow the Aces to be better offensively. It allows Jackie Young, who had to kind of take over the point guard role, to play off ball. 32 points last night, a game high. And this is a good Seattle team that has a good outlook from the odds perspective to be a true title contender, who had won 8 of their last 10 entering last night. In the Indiana Fever, boy, they're getting hot. The Fever have now won 3 consecutive games, 5 of its last 7, 88-81, the victory last night over the Mystics. Yes, Washington is the worst team in the WNBA, only 2 wins this year. The Fever should win this game. They were booked as a 5.5-point favorite, but that's exactly what they did, covering the number. 88-81, you saw the picture last night for Indiana. 22 points out of Leah Boston, a double-double for CC. Caitlin Clark on the screen, 18 points, 12 boards. Kelsey Mitchell adds in 22 as well. Indiana starting to find its footing.
Yeah, and it's a good time for them to do that, because now starting to get into that playoff mix where if the season ended today, they would be in. That's where you want to see those young superstars. And also, the hellish schedule that the WNBA put them through early on, maybe it's starting to balance out, because all those times you're playing the top teams in the WNBA, sooner or later you're going to start to play a lot of those bottom teams here, and that's what we're seeing. Shot 50% from the floor at home, enough to get that victory, the win in the cover, and away you go. Everybody wants to see the Fever in the playoffs, particularly the higher-ups in the WNBA.
And that was really the case, DRS. 11 games in the first 20 days of the year, a 2-9 record that featured multiple games against both the Liberty and the Connecticut Sun, because they wanted Caitlin Clark on full display to carry over that momentum. Now, 5 games in the last 18 days for Indiana. They're 4-1 in that span. 18 points out of Caitlin Clark last night, 6 dimes, 12 rebounds. Already her 6th game in her WNBA career of at least 15 points, 5 boards, 5 dimes, the most by a WNBA rookie in their rookie campaign since 2008 in Candace Parker. Historic marks for Caitlin Clark in the W. Hour 2 is up next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.